All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue here looking at the anticipated result of these believers progressively and contemporaneously, you know the word, that occurs in regards to making the maturity adjustment that Paul expects in his prayer petition, that is, the continued regimen of inhale, exhale faith. And that in time, this will produce as ultimate result the strength, the power to be made strong that comes from the power of God's glory in this vein in verses 11 and 12, in verse 11 specifically. And we're dealing with the fact that this comes about through the process of regeneration, the new birth, the endowment of God the Holy Spirit in His indwelling and filling role to us, and then the creation of the human spirit that is then given to the believer priest in correlation with God the Holy Spirit, that from the Spirit comes Spirit in this respect. And in this way, God provides for us the divine operating assets necessary so that we can continue to fulfill God's plan for our life in action with honor as we have been dealing with. And it is the Holy Spirit that obviously gives us insight, the ability to assimilate the truth of doctrine apart from our sin nature and the inability of the human flesh otherwise to perceive these spiritual realities that the Bible is made of which the Bible is made in this regard. And the human spirit, known as Doctor Man, becomes the vessel for the resident Bible doctrine in regards to our persons, which in turn, as we saw, that doctrine directs, encourages, and sustains us in the angelic complex so that we can, too, enjoy the victory that God will, without doubt, with all surety and guarantee, claims victory for in regards to, say, the satanic attack and evil and negative volition of mankind otherwise in this respect. And it's only by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, again, that we can understand this doctrine. That's point 22 there. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. These verses teach quite clearly that the flesh, which is under the control of the STA, the sinful trend of Adam, is unable and incapable of assimilating the truth of doctrine. And God the Holy Spirit and our human spirit are given to us so that we can overcome this limitations otherwise in our human experience before God and fulfilling His plan for our life. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16, this is taught by Paul. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world is the combined essence of the negative volition and human viewpoint running under the energy of the flesh in regards to all that they pursue and things of this nature and seek in regards to life. And we have been given the capability to come out of that camp, to not have to operate under the cosmic influence that is ruled and headed by Satan himself. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. And that is given to us as our benefit in our grace apparatus for perception, those things that God imparts to us in terms, obviously, of His plan, and as it may even apply in regards to things in life, decisions, the way we go, and other aspects of living a Christian life. Verse 13, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. It's not through higher academics. You don't have to go to a university or any other type of human-made school to learn the truth of doctrine. It is made possible through the articulation of it, through the proper spiritual gifts, and God the Holy Spirit intervening on behalf of all of us and mankind otherwise, whether it's gospel phase 1 or phase 2, to understand it. And he says, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom. This is not their idea, Paul says. I didn't make this stuff up. I didn't have to become any Einstein to figure all this out. But in those taught by the Spirit, led by God the Holy Spirit, combining spiritual with spiritual, in that vein, spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, to see the insight, the spiritual understanding in regards to the Bible, just as we saw with Jesus and Nicodemus and the analogy of, of being born again, to see that spiritual insight. As we know, Jesus taught most often in His ministry in such fashion, using analogies, using parables, using the physical to represent the spiritual realities. And in verse 14, he makes it very clear in terms of those who want to simply, you know, as they say, I've run across people like this throughout my life. I sit down and I read the Bible, but there's not really nothing there. You know, well, how did you do it? You just sit down and you think that you had the human intellect through your own intellectual abilities, that all of a sudden you can understand all the spiritual insight that the Bible has in regards to its fold of content. But a natural man, verse 14, does not accept the things of the Spirit. The natural man, that's your flesh, which the sin nature resides. And it can only truly apprehend the consequences of physical and tangible things in life. The spiritual things remain aloof. They're lost to them. Those things that God, the Holy Spirit, imparts to us on behalf of the Father and His plan. For they are foolishness to Him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. They must be spiritually critiqued and understood. And God, the Holy Spirit, knows the thoughts of God. Hence, he's able to communicate to us all that God thinks in regards to his plan that he reveals to us, the very depths of it. To mankind, it seems stupid to bring a Savior in a world that has to get crucified in order to save us. It seems stupid to submit oneself under humility in regards to one under-shepherd in regards to their life at a time, as it's so designed. We're not to practice plurality of elders. And one spiritual gift, one under-shepherd per local church in this regard. That seems foolishness to most people. And people think they can be an honor unto themselves. They can figure it out on their own. Well, okay, show me your work. If you can't, show me your work. I'm open. If you think I do this simply under some type of academic discipline in regards to my own life, then you don't know me at all. I'm only able to understand what I'm able to pull out of the Scriptures and teach you through the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. I am thoroughly and totally convinced of that. And it's only by the filling of the Holy Spirit can one truly understand the truth of God's plan. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. You're either in a state of spirituality or carnality in your Christian life. You're under carnality when you succumb to the sin nature and you're out of fellowship. You gain spirituality through the rebound technique. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. For it is known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him. That we have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? That's the truth of doctrine. The Bible. What would Jesus do? Read the Bible. It explains exactly what he would do. When you understand it in regards to its true spiritual content. And that name. And obviously, it's not, Paul's not saying that there's no place for not judging or critiquing others in life in this regard. But when it comes down to it, God is the one who judges all of our thoughts, all of our intentions. And none of us are going to judge another one of us at the bema seat. That's left to Jesus Christ. He alone appraises us. God alone truly appraises us in that fashion. Obviously, we can look at certain things in regards to people's life, and we can make accurate appraisal on that in that terms. People abandon Bible class. Well, where do you think they are spiritually? You don't think that they're going to fall under this petition from Paul, do you? Maximizing and intake of doctrine and application of divine good production. God's an exacting God. The Bible makes that very clear. Either you do it His way or it's the highway, the broad way. So this is the way it is set up. This is a process. And you learn this through doctrine. 23, we have unlimited capacity to handle all that we may face on the glory road. Philippians 4:13. Paul says, I can do all things through him. He's the agent who strengthens me. Christ made provision for us, for God the Holy Spirit and His role and ministry to us. We have His mind. That is the truth and power of Bible doctrine in us. As Jesus says, I in you. What is that? It's doctrine in you. See? And you and me, that's being in fellowship. Being in a sphere of fellowship as He is with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we're given unlimited. We're not given any tests. This falls right in line with the parallel. We're not given any tests we're not capable of handling with doctrine. If you find a failure in that regard, then it's just a matter of lack of pulling out the doctrine, and or rationalizing or watering down the application otherwise. And obviously it's. It's not always simple. That's why a doctrine teaches you to check things off when you're dealing with tests in life. Is this right? Is my life right first and foremost? Am I in Bible class consistently? Am I applying fellowship? Am I out of fellowship? What does doctrine have to say about this situation? Etc., etc., all the things that apply. So we can do all things. And obviously, believers have gone through unbelievable tests in life and persevered and passed those tests, like Job, as a premier example. Now, this fact of being able to handle what we face in a Christian life. This fact is summarized in the results of the strengthening of being made strong, quote, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness and patience. So, 25, the English translation for, in quotes, is the Greek preposition eis, E-I-S, literally meaning into, and it's directional, pointing to the result. The result into the attaining, if you will, going into that realm then, the process, progressive process, contemporaneous process of growing up spiritually. So 26, now the two experiential arms of empowerment the believer exhibits are stated here. And what you had is two words that both have the essence of patience. And one is patience directed towards circumstances and situations of life. It's going to rain again. It's going to snow. That's circumstance, situation, life. Car broke down, got a car test, got a health test. The other is patience as it's directed towards others. Driving down the road and somebody cuts you off, or whatever. So here we have these two words that are used side by side that obviously covers the bases the application of becoming strong as it would apply to us in the general sense. So first one, A, is steadfastness. That's upomone in the Greek, H-U-P-O-M-E-M-O-N-E, in parenthesis. That emphasizes enduring or persevering under difficult circumstances, under testing, if you will. Romans 5:3. In regards to finding ourselves with the foundation of phase one, positional truth, gives us a ability, phase two then, to enter into and exploit God's grace in that category, which we stand, verse 2, finishing it, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God, to stand, say, stay firm in regards to the truth of doctrine. We have a sanctified boast, if you will, in terms of the fact that this is accumulating for us, SG3, that's glory of God. And verse 3, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, our tests in life. We call these CHIPS, common human problems, problems that every human has. Problems that money or position of power or authority does not itself resolve or eliminate in regards to one's life. Even the rich can get murdered. Even the rich get sick and get cancer. And there's nobody that can deliver them. The famous, the rich and famous. And they got to put up with the weather and all these other things. And he says, if you want to have a boast here, basically, take the lead from Paul. Exalt in your testing. Why? Why would you have a boast in that regard? Because this is God interceding on your behalf, an aspect of your life, to provide for you the opportunities to maximize in the very process of divine good production, etc., that we're dealing with in regards to the book of Colossians. Knowing that our this is part of the spiritual growth process. We're growing up spiritually. You're going through that? Yeah, I'm growing up spiritually. Thank you. Every kid, as they get older, you know, it's not 12 anymore. I'm a teenager. I'm 13. You know, they recognize growing up. That's a highlight in regards to a person's life until you get my age. Then it's a low light. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. that through testing, tribulations, this brings about perseverance. That's our term. Hupomone. That's the patience towards circumstances in life. That's a big thing in regards to growing up spiritually for some people, is to learn patience, to wait upon God, rather than trying to crank things up. You got to crank up your own things in life, and you leave God out of the mix. See, like God needs some help to take you to your life niche. Obviously, you make application of the doctrine. But we're to wait upon God and pray about these things, etc. Rather than having knee-jerk reactions and lunge. You've got to lunge for everything. And of course, we all probably have our issues with that in certain parts of our life, wherever it may be. But to recognize it and understand it, that's not the way that we should do it. And through our testing, we start to learn patience. And we pray about things. And we make sure that it's not violating doctrine anywhere down the road, especially in the decisions we make in regards to what we might acquire or pursue or whatever. Job niche, education. What is it going to take you out of Bible class? That's a pretty serious consideration. When ought to make in regards to their decisions. 2 Corinthians 1:6. Paul said, if we, this Paul and company, in their ministry, are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. The testings that he faces in his ministry. To ensure bringing about and evangelizing in terms of the gospel, phase one, phase two, and whatever test he goes through. He definitely understood the camaraderie of Paul's volition amongst one another in fellowship. Paul did. It was always about them together, see. Recognizing they're all in the same boat, and they're all to serve one another. And in his ministry is to bring about the truth of doctrine in regard to those that otherwise would be allotted to him under his charge. And is for their comfort and deliverance. That's obviously a phase two deliverance. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort. Everything that occurs in your life, he recognizes, is God interceding on his behalf. And maybe undeserved suffering from others around him in antagonism and hostility towards him and his ministry, or just other types of tests, living grace, etc., etc. But he recognizes when these things come about that there is a correlation of the confluence and union between him and those otherwise that he has authority over, in terms of their own spiritual advance, which is affected in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Recognizing that we all go through similar tests. They may have their own unique stamp of occurrence, but people go through job tests. People go through health tests in general, see. Go through relationship tests. All kinds of stuff. And patient enduring of those circumstances, situations in life that come about that test our patience. You need to keep in front of yourself those major events in one's life that truly have impact that's over and beyond just a normal lunging for something, if that's part of your problem in life. You may lunge after a detail, that's one thing. You can always do things to mitigate that. You lunge for things like your write-offs and number. That's a life commitment. A life commitment. It's, at least it should be. Of course, in our society, who gives it? I didn't even say the whole word, and you knew where it was coming. So, you know, these are things that we got to keep in mind. You should. Now, I'm not here to say who matches who or whatever in life. That's not my goal. That's not my job. I'm just here to teach you the doctrine in regards to it. First Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 6:4. We should try to get along with one another, not to be an intentional stumbling block, be offensive to people. Giving no cause for offense in anything, verse 3. In order that the ministry be not discredited, understanding that, it's your life and it's your independent life, as long as you're part of this assembly, you represent us as a body. See, that's important. Even if a pastor brings reproach upon the church is obligated to deal with that. We're to try not to do that in regards to our lifestyle and things of this nature. So people can't at least legitimately, they'll find enough excuses without us having to create them for them in regards to taking issue with respect to our ministry. But in everything, verse 4, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, and in distresses. So these sufferings often come about through undeserved suffering. Hardships are circumstances that you might be able to change, but yet you endure what goes on so that you don't have to compromise doctrine. So again, circumstances, situations in view, James 5:11. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. Their endurance is the idea. But it's our word. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing. The Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Understand, with the testing comes a blessing, and vice versa. It usually is reciprocating, generally in life. And God vindicated Job ultimately, in time, as well as eternity. He had to sacrifice to get there. He had to endure humiliation from his friends who were his doctrinal friends, by the way. People that knew doctrine. These weren't just some cosmic idiots out there, giving him advice. Go work offshore for a year and make your money you need, abandon class, that kind of advice or whatever. He endured. And God came back and he blessed him again. And he is a believer that lived not long after the flood in that period of time in history. He was oriented to doctrine. And God used him as an example of what positive volition is like in phase two. Especially the adjusted positive believer that clings to doctrine. So, endurance to the circumstances, his health, the things that occurred on his epidermis, his skin, and things of this nature that he had to endure just because God wanted to use him to show up Satan. So to speak, that's what he did. But you can imagine what kind of SG3 that is. So he's kind of the model, if you will, in regards to, Satan, he's nothing. I conquered that guy in time. So you can, each of us can say that if we hang in there with it. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing much of that, but you get the idea. B, their second word for patience is makrothumia, makrothumia. That looks at exercising forbearance or restraint, if you will, towards others. Patience towards others. Ephesians 4:2. I, Paul, verse 1, therefore the prisoner in the Lord, you're either a prisoner under Christ's regime or a prisoner under Satan's regime, in fellowship, aligned with doctrine, or out of fellowship, running with your STA. Entreats you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, with all humility. It should be endorsed and covered with humility and gentleness. With patience, that's patience towards one another, showing forbearance to one another in love. Now, we all come in from different backgrounds. We all have our unique STA identities and trends. Where we're at spiritually, individually, as well as corporately. And offenses will come. You can't hardly avoid it, intentional or unintentional. I know my humor sometimes gets in the way of my mouth, and I can be offensive that way. At least I've been told that. Most people just laugh it off, but some people don't. They don't like it. You know? But anyway, be patient with me. I'm patient with you. That's one of the ones that kind of got me in regards to ministry that I know of not long ago, where a pastor kind of went off a little bit on their teaching. Nothing that at this point in time still caused anybody to crash and burn necessarily in regards to getting their prize, but how the pastor for some 45 years was patient with everybody else's STA in that church. I mean, everybody's. I was there. And he does something, and all of a sudden, they have no patience. So, you know, it goes, it's a two-way street. I understand the importance of sound doctrine, and I'm not saying one way or the other, but with some of it, it just kind of gets you. So patience with one another is what I'm saying. Obviously, there are times when Paul says you have to bring the rod, and things of that nature, we understand all that. But to give everybody their room, their space, knowing that as long as they're coming to Bible class, I mean, they should be held in the esteem of which that represents in terms of what they are showing their interest is, and that is the truth of doctrine. But if time comes, opportunity comes to exhort, you know, well, then you take it. But to be patient. Gently. One, patience, as we know, is a fruit of the Spirit. That's Galatians 5:22. Being in fellowship, there's certain attributes, certain characteristics that are associated with one who is in fellowship. Fruit of the Spirit is love, that's divine love. Joy, inner happiness, plus H, peace, patience. Makrothumia, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's because you're being governed by God the Holy Spirit. Two, then it is also commanded. Colossians 3:12. We'll give it in form of command. And so those, as we dealt with putting on the new man, etc., the previous verses earlier, and so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Our turn. We're in the boat together. We're all just trying to keep our head above water spiritually, so to speak. Maybe some people are better swimmer than others. All right, well, okay. But we still, we're there. If you can encourage and exhort in that terms others, then you should do it. Some things in life, in terms of STA weaknesses, one may struggle most of their life with. But ultimately, it can be overcome. See? Ultimately, it is overcome because they persevere. 27, so the power that we get from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, and Bible doctrine is these two virtues as they grow in regards to our Christian life. Patience towards circumstances, situations, patience towards others, which is necessary in order for you to endure and keep your eyes on your own knitting and things of this nature. And keeping your eyes on doctrine. 27, the power of the Spirit-filled believer applying doctrine gives him the ability to endure both circumstances and people in life that come as a challenge to their Christian advance. That comes as a challenge to their Christian advance. Things that can become potential stumbling blocks or are stumbling blocks. Family members that want to ridicule or be hostile in regards to your stand for doctrine. To not go off on them necessarily. Now, there's a place to defend yourself. I'm not saying that. But other things in life, other people that are simply just going to be a distraction in regards to your spiritual advance. The adjective all here, again our word pos in quotes here, makes clear that these attributes grow in time, becoming all sufficient to please God, phase two. Over time, one will arrive at the maturity level. Of applying patience in both categories at a high level. At a high level, see. In this way, we are able to claim personal victory in the angelic conflict. Victory over the sin nature, victory over the cosmos and all that it has to try to disrupt us and challenge us and immobilize us in regards to our spiritual advance. 30, the believer must actively seek to apply under testing to tap into this power source. Doesn't come through some metamorphosis that's just happening naturally. Now you got to put effort into it. It's a battle. Your SCA is a battle. I know that. You don't have a pastor that doesn't have empathy and sympathy in regards to that. I know very clearly how it is a battle, and you've got to continue to hammer on it, and you do that by maintaining your regimented spiritual workout, being in Bible class, prayer, rebound. Seeking to do the proper exercise, application of doctrine, etc. And you've got to offer up your positive volition and pursue it in regards to your own determination. See, determination comes from your will, your choice. I choose to apply doctrine here rather than capitulate to the sin nature. 31, that God's enabling power is unlimited for those who have been faithful to NPR. He is always there and for the occasion. Now, it's up to us whether we're going to take benefit of that and exploit that by being in fellowship and doing those things and staying positive in regard to our Christian life. 32, the only thing that can truly hinder one's advance and victory otherwise of being a Medal of Honor winner, especially, you know, if you will, is by caving in to the SVA and human viewpoint under testing. There's no faults of God, I can tell you that, from our own weakness of the flesh, our own capitulation in regards to going with the sin nature, and rationalizing doctrine or watering it down, if not just outright dismissing it. All these things contribute in regards to trying to trip us up. So, failure in the Christian life lies on the responsibility and burden of the individual itself. God's provided everything else. And then that brings us up, bringing us into verse 12, where the final phrase of verse 11 obviously goes with the first phrase of verse 12a, literally in the Greek, with joy, translated simply joyously, giving thanks to the Father. And I'm going to cut it off right here, so we can just pick up kind of a clean point there, Tuesday. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to continue to light to see things. In Jesus' name, amen.